2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "What can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it on one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Right now, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, Lord, but we know that you are faithful and that you're going to work it out, Lord, so we can rest in you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you that we are actually going to leave here excited about your word. We're going to leave here refreshed. We're going to be ready to take on the world, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for that suddenly that's coming in our lives, Lord. Let us expect that suddenly and let us think big, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, I love all you guys. And I want to say that we need to start thinking big. I know that kind of sounds cheesy, you know. I'm not trying to give anyone false hope. I'm not trying to sound cool or hip or anything like that. But this is what the Lord has kind of been impressing on me, that this church, we need to expect the Lord to do some awesome and mighty things. Amen. We need to expect it. We need to stand on it. Amen. We need to be ready for it. We need to be prepared for it. And we need to think big. Amen. Think big. We serve a big, big God. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about this guy named Elisha. I haven't preached about Elisha in a very, very, very long time. It was years ago. But just real briefly, Elisha was an understudy of Elijah. Okay, Elijah was a mighty man of God. Elijah was called up to heaven. Now Elisha is doing the ministry thing. Okay, so that's where we're at this morning. And guys, just give me your ears for a few minutes and let's get ready to be blessed and let's get ready to think big. Amen. I know you got things going on in your world. I know there's things that you want to see happen. Let's give it all to the Lord. Amen. Because he can do awesome and amazing things. You see this picture down here. I drew this last night. No, I did not. But this is one of the blueprint pieces for our building that we're getting worked on. We've come a long way on it, and this is not a sales pitch about that building. This is just one little thing that this church is focused on. But this is something that we really need to happen. We need this room, and this is not too big for God. Not at all. This is, whatever you're going through, man, it's not too big for God. Amen? We need to change the way we're thinking. We need to put our trust in him. If you trust him for your salvation, raise your hands if you trust him for your salvation. Okay, he's a big God, and he saved our souls. We're washed in his blood. Amen? Well, let's trust him on these big burdens that we have. They're not that big. We serve a big God, a big, big God. Amen? So, whatever you're going through, we're going to give it to God this morning. Amen? 2 Kings 4 and verse 1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha. So this was a guy that was kind of under Elisha. This was a guy that Elijah knew some way, somehow. This guy was in the ministry or in the training to be a minister. Okay? Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Okay, this is one of those hopeless situations. This is a horrible situation this lady is in. Her husband died. Okay, she's got nothing in the house. She can't pay her bills. And the creditors are going to come and take her two kids away into slavery. They could do that back then. Okay, who's glad you live in the 1980s or whenever this is? The 90s, the 2000s, whatever we got going on here. Okay, now this is a bad situation, and it's just getting worse. Now look, this lady was a God-fearing lady, a God-fearing household. They loved the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? So let's get rid of that ideal that just because I belong to God that my life is supposed to be super, super easy. Okay? And we can, somebody said that we can go one way or the other. We can either get better or we can get bitter during hard times. Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Okay, and I've done both, man. I've ran into the arms of the Lord and been blessed, and I've also got mad and frustrated and bitter and acted like a little baby. Amen? Can we be real this morning? This lady, she's like, well, you know, I went to church. I put in the offering plate when I could. I helped out in the nursery. I did these things. You know what I mean? And my life is falling apart. It's getting worse and worse. And all God's people said, it's getting worse. But it's not too big for God. Amen? Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. This was a good man, Elisha. You knew him, man. He loved God. How can this be fair? Well, guys, it ain't fair, is it? We live in a world where bad things and unfair things happen all the time. Amen? Okay, I want to read Psalm 34 and verse 18 to you guys. If you're in a hopeless situation, cling to this verse. And just remember, there is no hopeless situation for the believer. Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just simply amazing? If that doesn't mean anything to you right now, memorize it. Get it in your heart, because you will go through a trying time sometime. You know what I'm saying? Either you're in one right now or you're about to be in one. Amen? Welcome to the world. Welcome to being a Christian. Amen? Well, here's the deal. Okay. Whatever you're going through, the Lord God, Jehovah, the creator of the universe, loves you with an undying, unfailing love, and he wants to be with you during these hard times. Like I said, we can pull away if we want to, try and do things our own way and get bitter and cause a whole lot of trouble. That's not going to be any good for us. Amen? That's not going to lead us to anywhere good. But God says, let me help you through this time. Amen? Lean on me. And all God's people said, lean on me. That is a song, baby. And that's what we need to do. We need to lean on God, lean on our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Guys, look around. This is your family, and we're here for one another. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All God's people said, thank you, Jesus. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. No one likes to be in that brokenhearted place where your soul is hurting so bad. Anybody like being in that place? Where things look impossible, things look hopeless. But guess what? God wants to rush to you during that situation. He cares about what you're going through, and he wants to heal you in that situation. Amen? Remember this verse. Write it down. Underline it in your Bible. Underline it in your neighbor's Bible. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Lamentations 3 and verse 25. Another goodie. Lamentations 3 and 25. The Lord is good. You guys, are y'all cool with that? Do you agree with that? Even when you don't get the big bonus check you were counting on? No matter what, God is good. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. You know what, guys? Sometimes we miss out on that provision. Sometimes we miss out on that blessing because we're not putting our hope in him. I'm not saying we're not saved people, but sometimes we think, well, you know, God's awful busy. He ain't got time for this little problem. It's a little tiny thing to God. No, he cares about us. He loves us. He's committed to us. We are his concern. You guys understand that? Just like my kids are my concern, your kids are your concern, and we would do anything in the world for them. Amen? And sometimes we have to give them that hard love sometimes. You know what I mean? We don't always give them what they want because that's not good or profitable or beneficial for them. Amen? So God knows what he's doing. Amen? The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Everybody, if you're going through it or if you're going to go through it, stop doubting. Amen? Don't allow yourself to get bitter. Put your hope, put your trust, put your faith in the Almighty God who can do all things. Amen? The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Amen. All right. Praise you, Jesus. Goodness gracious. I'm just here to tell you, Miss Bobby Jean Joyner, that God is good. 2 Kings 4 and verse 2. And Elisha said to her, so this woman runs up. That my husband's dead. You knew him. He was a good guy. He loved the Lord. He took us to Sunday school. We did all this stuff, man. We followed the Lord. We were doing the right thing, man. And it's just getting worse, man. Elisha. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Like, haven't you been listening to nothing I've been saying, Elisha? They're about to take my kids away, man. That's how bad it is. I ain't got nothing. We got a little bit of oil. That's it. We ain't got no flour. We ain't got nothing. We ain't got no hot dogs. If something don't happen, we're going to make oil mud pudding. I don't know what we're going to do tonight for dinner. It ain't looking good, but here you are. Elisha's like, what can I do for you? What do you want? And let's get into that for a second. What do we want God to do for us? Amen. Do we really think that he can do what we're asking? Amen. Do we really think that he's big enough or that he cares? We know he's big enough. We know he's big enough. But do we think he cares about what we're going through? Absolutely he cares about what you're going through. Amen. It's not impossible for him. That little building right there, that's nothing to God. Amen. Whatever's going on in your body or your finances or in your heart or your head, nothing to God. Amen. It's nothing to him. Amen. I'm not saying he don't care. He cares immensely. Amen. But we need to put our hope in him, our trust in him. Amen. And forget about what the world says about what's impossible or what the doctors say or what your accountant says. I mean, you might need to listen to your accountant. I don't know. You don't have... No, I'm fine. I don't either. Okay. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Because... do we want God to really do it, or has it been so long? We've been asking for so long that we're like, well, I don't think this is going to happen.